Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Hello, welcome to Know the Faith, Defend the Faith. My name is William Hemsworth. This is brought to you by the Tucson Institute of Catholic Apologetics. I am pleased to welcome my guest to the show, Steve Picorni. Steve, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Great to be with you, William.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. Steve is he's the founder of Freedom Coaching, freedom-coaching.net. He has an MA in theology from the Franciscan University of Steubenville. He's a popular speaker, a certified life coach. Again, just a pleasure to have you.
Awesome. It's great to be here.
So our topic today is a sensitive one for a lot of people, but it's one that, let's be honest, it's one that we have to discuss just because it is an issue. And we're talking about porn today, porn addiction. So in your estimation, and I know this is kind of a generic question to start off with, what is porn?
Great question. So the way I would define pornography is I define it in my book, Redeemed Vision, Setting the Blind Free from the Pornified Culture, is pornography is any image, written or audio, that's trying to get us to use another person as a means of my own selfish sexual gratification. And so most people are familiar with, you know, what they deem quote unquote hardcore pornography or stuff we'd see on online right now. But if we look across the landscape, William, of the Western world, this is everywhere. Movies, television shows, the magazines as we check out at our local supermarket, obviously online, it's everywhere. And there's this huge encouragement that if relationships are to be relationships, they need to be eroticized. And it's really stealing our ability, our capacity for entering into deep, genuine intimacy, especially between men and women.
Couldn't agree more with you on that. Thank you for that assessment. Now, we hear this argument that porn is harmless, that it's not causing any damage, they're not hurting anybody, that it's kind of an art form, if you will. What's your response to that? Because obviously it's, in my opinion, probably yours, it's way off base.
Sure, I definitely would say way off base. And I think those who are saying this either are radically ignorant or are willfully ignorant or are making a profit of some sort in the industry itself. So first off, porn is not art. Okay, pornography, and it's kind of amazing that we even are using the term porn. We've given a cutesy name to it. It's pornography, right? It's right. The using of human beings, and I think we don't use that phrase enough. Use in that sense of using persons. So art truly brings us into the infinite. We long for more. It's connected with truth, goodness, and beauty. Wherever there is the using of human beings, it is not opening to the infinite, but it is less. It is lessening. It is not connected with the true, the good, or the beautiful. Yes, there are elements of that that are found in pornography because the persons themselves are good, right? It's the actions, it's the way they're being depicted is not. And anywhere there is pornography, there is going to be a degradation of the person, and we're going to see a breakdown of a whole lot of different issues. Just take the issue of, I remember a report, and this is back in the 80s, of any place that there was a pornography bookstore or a movie store, environment around it, the neighborhood around it, would descend into more crime, more poverty. It just would start to fall apart, right? And this doesn't even, I mean, and a side note, we can get into the spiritual warfare aspect of this, right? But let's break down some of the categories there real briefly, right? For men, what this does, it turns men into porn zombies. That's the language I like to get. If you think of movies like shows like The Walking Dead or Zombieland, which is very popular, right? Those zombies are creatures that are mindless beasts that are scouring the landscape looking for flesh to devour. Is this not what is happening in pornography, right? Where these men are being programmed to believe that the value of women is what pleasure they can provide to a man. And when that pleasure is gone, after maybe 3 to 4 seconds, we're going to switch off of her and move on to something, someone else, right? And this itself steals a man's capacity to truly being a man. It emasculates him, okay? And then if you couple in also the chemicals that go into this, and in chapter 3 of my book, I talk a great deal about the neuroscience of pornography, how the same chemicals that are stirred up in healthy marital relationships are the same things that happen in pornography use, but the exact opposite. So instead of these men feeling as though that they're more connected, that they're more invigorated, they're more virile, more manly, it actually takes away from that, steals that from them. And instead, the experience is, oh my gosh, if anybody knew what I was doing, I would want to die. I mean, in the vast amount of people who watch pornography, I would say well over 99% will want to do this by themselves. Well, if you think about the sexual act itself, it's meant for another. It's meant to pour out to between husband and wife to strengthen their union and to flow out into a third at least, right? Well, you have four, I've got two on earth and right. One in heaven, right? So that's the blessing. But the opposite here is it takes away from a man. Instead, he's left with this guilt, this shame, this self-hatred, this not feeling comfortable in his own skin. So that's for the men. And then for women, right? Women have been told for years that in order to be by a lot of different sources, not from the church herself, right, but from a lot of secular sources, that in order to be a woman today, you have to be like a broken man. So the logic fits. If a man is into pornography, then a woman needs to be into it as well. And so I'm seeing increasing numbers of women who are seeking out freedom coaching and coming to work with, want help from this. And again, we're seeing the stats here. And again, it's fuzzy on this in some sense. And somewhere between one third to one half of the viewers of visually stimulating pornography are women. And this should, for a lot of us, because we've been told the idea that men are visual, women are not. Well, no, women are visual also, but women, especially with the corpus callosum, it's the elements in the brain that connects the left and right hemispheres, the left brain being that logical, rational processing, right brain being the emotion, affectivity. And so they're able to put things better together. William, you're married, right? You hopefully know this like I do, right? We're like, what? And they're like, can you see that? Any topic at all.
It's a hard lesson at times, yes. But sometimes I learn the hard way on that. With pornography, what is the, I know you just mentioned a stat, you know, but the viewership of women, what's the effect on marriage for those that are into pornography?
Yeah. Well, let's first start out here with getting into marriage, right? Look across the landscape. If you talk to a lot of young adults, so many of these, especially women, more and more women, good Catholic women, right, are trying to find a good Catholic man. And they look across the landscape and they're like, where are these guys? And the flip side goes for the guys as well, right? With the different programming, and maybe it's because so many of the guys these women have encountered have not been true men to them, but have been boys in men's bodies. Then the women are going to be shut down. They're going to be very closed. So when there's a genuinely good guy striving to be there, so ladies who are hearing this, right, there are good men out there, right? Pray for us. We need that help. And in this, there's a closing down. There's a closing of heart. Because like you get your hand slammed in the door, you know, more than once, well, there's going to be a tendency. I'm not going there because I don't want to get my hand slammed in again. And so you have this now, this breakdown here. You have then also, right, what's the education from the pornified culture, from all those different avenues, right? If you love someone, you sleep with them. It makes sure it gets eroticized within the first two dates, right? And then we also see, right, the breakdown of marriage itself, the marriage culture itself. If I'll stay with you, and we'll get along if our emotions are there, if we feel those emotions. What that's called is limerence, okay? One of the best pieces of advice I can give to young people who are pursuing a vocation to marriage is kill limerence as soon as possible, okay? It doesn't mean that we don't feel those emotions, but we don't allow them to dictate our relationships. We follow love. That's what we as Christians are called to. We're called to follow Jesus Christ. And so in those in here, right, if we've been souped up with our emotions here, and that's what we do in our relationship, well, if in those relationships that we've been programmed through the pornified vision is about using each other, well, one or both parties is going to wake up one day, and it comes soon, usually, that this person doesn't really love me for me, right? Even though there's a bonding that's happened in a certain sense, it's also been a blinding when we misuse our sexuality. And what that does, it hardens the heart, an argument comes out, and then we end up thinking because we aren't solid in our own identity and the identity of our relationship, then the conclusion for a lot of people is, well, because those feelings aren't there because there's been hurt, I guess you just don't love me. So you have this breakdown there. And so you have this radical notion of people not pursuing marriage anymore. Instead, they're pursuing either cohabitation sometimes or just serial hookups. And so you have a whole generation of people, like this is the big thing that is dealing with it at this moment, is that of this utter loneliness that's present there, right? So that's on the outside of marriage. What about the inside of marriage, right? And a very famous stat from 2003, it was a group of about 250 divorce lawyers who reported that 56% of all the cases of divorce had a significant pornography had a significant contribution to breaking those unions down. Okay, this is 2003, William. Think about this. Right. Do you know when the iPhone came out?
2007, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 2007 is when they came out. I mean, so we're 12 years old. And with now, like, pornography use exploding, it's on my handheld device, right? I can bring this into the bedroom even while my spouse is sleeping right next to me, or I can bring it wherever, in the bathroom at work, in my car. And so we're seeing this explosion here. And what's happening is, for a vast majority of women, when they find out that their husbands are into pornography, it feels like they're being cheated on. And guess what? You are. It is adultery, right? We are promised to give my whole self, mind, body, soul, strength, everything, my sexuality to my beloved and no one else, right? In that significant way. And so these women feel, oh my gosh, you don't love me. Does it work the other way around as well? Yes, more and more women are getting into this. And I think it has to do with the loneliness factor, the fact that we don't know our identity as beloved sons and daughters of God, and loved by Jesus Christ. We have a breakdown in intimacy with Jesus Christ because of a lack of prayer life and things like this. And so these things contribute heavily. And who pays the price most are the children. Are our children, right? When my kids know, and I'm trying to be an attentive father, I'd be there, right? My kids know when I'm busy, I'm like, Dad, are you listening? Like, and I'm trying to take care of, like, I don't know, 30 messages on Instagram already that I'm working right. with. And that's because that's one of the ways I'm on Redeemed Vision on Instagram. And my kids are like, Dad. And like, there's something about the dopamine effect, right? Of, ooh, one more hit. Ooh, ooh, ooh. It's like Pavlov's dog, right? Right. And then this gets us into the idea that, and you couple in the idea of sexuality or what seems to be sexuality. I would say it's a counterfeit sexuality. There's something very attractive and powerful, and that's very easy to get attached to that, have a compulsion to that. And then when we are putting anything else besides God above our wife and then our children, there's going to be that breakdown in intimacy. And then some wives, especially for men, are like, I've had it, we're done.
Right. Speaking of children, you mentioned one factor, how children are being affected. Now, in this pornified culture that you described in your book, again, the book is The Redeemed Vision. Check it out, guys. It's a fantastic book. You did a great job in writing it, so thank you.
Excellent.
How are children being exposed to pornography now, especially at such an early age?
So one of the stats that I will frequently quote at talks, this is just the set stat, is the highest users of pornography is between the ages of 12 and 17, okay? But from experience and from talking to a lot of people, it's a lot earlier. It's somewhere between 8 and 11 years of age that they are being exposed to that. Okay. I've known of a child in therapy at 6 years of age for attachment to pornography use. And if you think about this, right, this is our modern entertainment, right? This is what is put out, not hardcore specifically, but we're trying to eroticize children earlier and earlier. Think of secular education, right? We're trying to get sex ed into kindergarten now, right? Why they need to learn various positions of these things is way beyond me, and it should be something way beyond us. And call into question, what does education mean, which should be from the Latin to lead to the truth. That's what education is. And these children, especially because there's a breakdown in the relationship between husband and wife, well, they're aching and yearning for this intimacy. And so what do? They go out and they try to seek out intimacy other ways. They stumble on these things in their home, perhaps, or at school, or other friends who have cell phones are like, hey, look at this. Because like, even if you're taking care of your kids, guess what? Their classmates aren't necessarily, right? And which should draw, I mean, this is a huge warning bell, which we'll talk about in some solutions here. And these kids, right, are defenseless. And especially has to do with the fact is that many of these kids are not being educated in the truth about human sexuality, because in many cases, many of the parents, I know that I was not the most chaste growing up, right? And especially, you know, getting into my dating years, I never had sex before marriage, but I was not chaste. And when we don't get these wounds healed, when we don't receive the healing of God, the healing from Jesus Christ, that guilt, shame, that self-hatred impacts us profoundly. And a lot of parents have bought into the lie that if we don't talk about it, then it'll just go away. No, nature abhors a vacuum. And so if these children aren't getting the true education from their home, and we are the primary educators in the faith, then what's going to happen is they're going to learn it from someone else. And sadly, they're being formed by pornography. And this is having a dramatic impact on the way civilization is being found. Because again, William, if men and women cannot establish genuine friendship, and civilization is finished. And I say that in all seriousness. And it's something where all hands on deck. But then we look again at our Catholic churches. When is the last time you heard a homily on pornography? I've heard, I think, 6 in my entire life. And that's saying something.
So what can we do as Catholic parents, Catholic men, as a church in general, to help combat this pornified culture? What can we do for our children and, well, also our churches, our society?
Sure. So that's a big question. We could spend a podcast just on that. So I especially point people to especially the entire book of Redeemed Vision, but chapter 12, I get very into the nitty gritties. What can we do about this? Very practical solutions. So first off, acknowledge the 572,000 pound elephant in the room. Okay. Pornography is a big deal. It is everywhere. This is the number one sin confessed in the confessional by far. So if you're Catholic, wake up to this reality. It is impacting everything, right? And the sad reality is there's a significant amount of priests who themselves have had an issue with this. And so there's healing all around that needs to come here. And I say that not to say that we need to live in fear of our priests. No, we need to pray more for them. We need to support them, right? Because the ultimate solutions to these are threefold, right? It's intimacy with Jesus Christ. It's identity work, being secure in who we are. And third, it's about learning how to see. When we can see the body as God has created us to see, right? If you remember the vision of Adam and Eve before the fall, they were naked without shame. They saw the person as a person. Yes, concupiscence is a real. The after the fall, concupiscence comes in, and it's the desire to be selfish, right? We all have it in a wide variety of ways. Concupiscence will be present with us. But the we give a little too much power to concupiscence, okay? We think that because there's concupiscence is going to rule the day, right? So take the issue of chocolate, right? And if we have a desire for chocolate, right, it doesn't mean that, oh my gosh, every single time I see a chocolate bar, like, I can't help myself and I gotta go eat four of them. No, right? We learn to eat that in moderation, okay? And chocolate, by the way, is not evil. Pornography is evil, right? So we never want to be using pornography. So here's the deal. So concupiscence, yes, it's a reality, but redemption is much more real. We do have the ability to see persons, right? To see persons, especially persons who we may be think are beautiful and think are, and every person is beautiful, right? But to think are beautiful or to have an attraction there, but to see them as a person, not as an object, right? And if we find that we're struggling with this, then we need to take this to Jesus Christ. We need to beg for the mercy to be able to see. I would also, so along those lines especially, we need to be trained in genuine beauty. I mentioned earlier on what is beauty on this podcast, and being trained in that, bring beautiful art into the home, bring art that especially exposes the body appropriately, right? Because there's a huge difference between the bodies that are exposed in pornography and especially the classical masters, Leonardo, Michelangelo, right? All of those that are revealing the body in an appropriate way. And then get educated on that. Understand what is the difference. Learn those things, right? And again, my book goes into those things. Because if we want to establish a culture of, undo the pornified culture, we have to bring in a culture of beauty. And it's going to be by unleashing this in a profound way. Then I would say, especially connected to all this, is what is our relationship with Jesus Christ like? Do we have a genuine prayer life? Are we entering in here? And again, this is not to say we stop praying the rosary or going to Eucharist adoration or all the sacraments, right? Don't stop going to confession, all those things. Very, very important, I want to say. But if we're not getting to the root, if it's not an intimate daily walk with the Lord, right? Where when different thoughts or different feelings come in, the things that we have temptations to, especially, we find here that it's a conversation piece. God wants to talk with us about it, right? And most of us, though, because maybe it's a skill we haven't developed, right? This is a relationship we haven't developed. We spend maybe 5 minutes in Mass on Sunday, and then the rest of the week, we don't really think about God. We don't have that prayer life, right? Well, this is a call for that deep, intimate time. In that, okay? So that would be an important thing. And then in addition to recognizing different temptations that come in, one of the easiest ways that you can dismantle temptation is to laugh. So, William, I'm gonna give you an example, okay? So, William, right now, in a really angry voice, I want you to say bubbles.
Bubbles!
I wasn't angry.
That was can't good. Do it.
Okay, do it. Right. Okay. Unless you have a cat who just like crap the bed and ate bubbles, you can't be mad at bubbles, right? So the quickest way to dismantle temptation, right, is laugh. We take ourselves, and again, we take ourselves way too seriously here. I think this is why like some comedians on college campuses, and again, maybe they need to clean up their language, but like they're afraid to go on a college campus because everybody's so darn serious about themselves. And I think it's because, right, we're caked in this guilt and shame. And because I don't accept myself or I feel unloved, then I'm going to project it onto you. And anything you do to try to speak against that is going to hurt. So bring in humor, laughter when temptation comes in. And again, the evil one is real. Temptations are real. But our God is way more powerful, right? And if we can learn to laugh at that, oh, man, it's a huge deal. Okay. And then especially for parents, let's zero in on parents. The best gift you can give to your kids is to love your spouse. Okay. So I'm going to give you two thoughts on how to prevent the D word from ever entering into your marriage. Okay. Number one, never stop dating. Just make sure the D word here is not dating, but divorce. Okay. So I'm clear. Never stop dating. Just make sure you only date one person, your spouse. Okay. So every week do something intentional apart from talking about kids and the job that you're going to grow in intimacy with your spouse, which means you don't have to spend any money, right? It's go for a walk, go push each other on the swings, not off the swings, William, right? On the swings, right? And then also at least 15 minutes of deep, intimate sharing every day. Most spouses grow apart. Those who get into pornography, right? They feel like my spouse just doesn't understand me or I'm finding something more exciting here. When we grow in intimacy with another human being, especially someone who's my spouse, then there's a mystery here, right? It's been said that men are like caves. And so women, you're to be spelunkers. Go deep into that cave. And ladies, you, the ladies are like deep sea. You're in the deep ocean, a wealth there. So we as men must learn to get on our scuba gear and dive into the in the mystery of our wives. And that depth never goes, never bottoms out. We never get to the bottom of that ocean of her, because the human person is a mystery here. And when we are constantly striving to do this, there's always new things. Like, I wouldn't wish my first year of marriage on anyone, but oh my Lord, what we fought about. I can't even remember what we fought about, right? We're 10 years in with our marriage, and I'm like, thank God. And now I'm realizing, oh my gosh, there's so much more I want to learn and love about my wife, which is a great thing. And so when our kids see mom and dad striving for intimacy here, and they see that they've set this conversation piece of the hierarchy, that sacred order of God first, mom and dad second, children third, and everybody else after that, everything else after that, that sets order and peace. Children thrive in order, right? So we need to take a look in our own marriage. How are we working to foster the intimacy, and how are we not? Then in relation to our kids themselves, obviously there does need to be the intentional discussion, age appropriately so, of human sexuality. I would start with a document, The Truth and Meaning of Human Sexuality, came out in 1995. It's a fantastic resource, which gives basically the concepts and framework in which to have these discussions. And because you are father and mother, you are capable of doing it. Is it going to be awkward? Yeah, it is, right? Because you didn't receive this conversation, most likely, okay? But guess what? We got to get over ourselves, because the sake of your children is there, and the fate of humanity is at present. So we got to talk about these things in a healthy way. Expose them to healthy understandings of the body. So one way to do that in our own home, right, is if, like, let's say you're using the restroom, right? Your child comes in. You don't freak out and like yell at them, get out of here. Treat it as normal. How you doing? What's going on? How can I help you? Right? We talk to them as a human being, right? Or the shower, things like that, right? They come in like, hey, what's going on, right? You talk to them, and it becomes this normal lived experience of human sexuality, so that when those feelings, as they get older, get eroticized, then we can have a healthy conversation about those. They have a lived experience of a healthy understanding of the body. And that means for ourselves, if there is an uncomfortability about the body, then that's a conversation with Jesus Christ. If there's health, if counseling is needed, right? If there, you have an experience of pornography yourself, come talk to me, right? Come talk to our team here, right? Needing help on freedom from pornography. There's wounds there that don't just go away. These are things that need to be healed, and they can be healed. And then the other thing about intimacy, right, with our kids, is a notion, and I want to actually, William, before I forget, one of the things, obviously, this isn't to say not to get web filters necessarily, okay? They can be helpful. I know Disney causes a lot of problems, but one of the ones I'd recommend is called Disney Circle, and it basically helps to shut down a lot of devices, control the devices. You can shut down Wi-Fi on individual devices. It's pretty genius what they have there. And so those can be good as exteriors, but they don't solve the problem, because if we don't change the heart, mind, and vision, if we're not educating in them in this, in how to see and how to enter into, have the deep relationships with others, with Jesus Christ, with his church, then when those desires come up, they're going to find a way around those. Remember, their friends at school are going to have cell phones, right? And if they're not trained how to see that truth, then it won't matter. And then the last piece I would say about this is have... if you got multiple, so William, for instance, you got four kids, right? So at least once a month, 20 minutes of alone time with each individual child. So go shoot hoops with the one kid, right, who likes to shoot hoops, or go paint a picture or play Legos. Do something intentional, because that intimacy, and then what that does, it starts to create this environment where my dad has been present to me. So when those feelings come up that they're like, I don't know how to make sense of this, or, you know, I saw this stuff on TV and I didn't know what to talk. What do I do with that? Then they're going to come to you instead of going, hey, let's look online. What is pornography? And then that would be the absolute thing we don't want, right? We want them to come to us to have that conversation.
movement. Now, you started Freedom Coaching. Of course, the website is freedom-coaching.net. I want to make sure I get that dash in there.
Yep.
So what is the goal of Freedom Coaching?
Sure. The goal. Sure. So if you look at a lot of programs out there, and again, there's a lot of programs that are well-intentioned. I'm not here to bash anyone, right? We need to get word out about this. Very, very good. And if you can help to a degree, great, do it. But a lot of things that are presented out there are coping mechanisms. And I'm, I don't know, maybe it's my whole thing of just being a man. I'm not interested in just looking at surface band-aid potential solutions. I'm looking at getting to the root. How do we solve this? So what do we need to do? So the goal here of Freedom Coaching is to actually change the desire so much that we no longer desire to look with lust. And we do have the ability to do this. I know pagans, okay, who they're nurses aides and no issue whatsoever, right? And they're seeing actually naked bodies all the time because they're examining them in the context there. This isn't a special gift that's been given to them. They've just trained how to see, right? So if that's happened to a pagan, how can we who have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit have the ability to do this so much more, right? So it's in, and through the process, it's a four-part process, which we work through. We work through first a client's history, especially through their emotional lens in healing, and there's a lot of healing that happens there. Second, we look at the brain chemicals, as I mentioned earlier, and just that understanding illumines their illumines hearts and minds to see this. Oh my gosh, there's a huge issue here. Third, and why that's an issue. Third is that intimacy piece, right? So if we've been trading true intimacy for false intimacy, we can regain that. We can retain what is real intimacy, beginning with intimacy with Jesus Christ, moving into relationships with real people offline in real life. And then what that does, it helps to solidify our identity as a beloved son or daughter of God. And then fourth is the fact that pornography blinds us in learning how to see the body. The scales can come off our eyes, and then we can literally, when a lustful image is presented to us, because I don't seek out pornography, but I see it every day because I'm reading on online, a news source. There's garbage on there, right? It's like an annoying mosquito. We can swat it away in about 3 seconds, and then you live your life. And the more and more things that we focus on and we bring beauty into our lives, the less and less we really want to ever go back to that, because the real is what satisfied. The lie never does.
Hey man, you've given us a lot to think about today. Like you said a moment ago, a lot of these topics we can spend whole shows on. So we're just scratching the surface, of course. But I thank you for joining me today. About your ministry.
Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. Again, it can be if you go to freedom-coaching.net is where you can get in touch there. There's other podcasts and this podcast we found there, different interviews and things like that, information on the program to sign up there. And then also I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Redeemed Vision.
Amen. Folks, check it out. Those links will also be in the show notes. Check out the book, Redeemed Vision. It's a fantastic read. Thank you so much for joining me today, Steve. I appreciate it. Appreciate the work you're doing.
Thank you, and blessings to you, William, and your audience.
Oh, thank you. God bless.
God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.